Now Lori Mercier is here with Thomas A. Sines, President and General Counsel of MALDEF, the acronym for Mexican American Legal Defense Fund.
Thanks, Tom. Thomas Sines is a civil rights attorney, as you heard, and with MALDEF, Mexican American Legal Defense and Education Fund, where he has successfully led challenges to California's unconstitutional Proposition 187, which tried to exclude immigrants residing in the country without legal permission to access public benefits. And he's led numerous other civil rights cases in the areas of immigrants' rights, education, employment, and voting rights. Welcome to KABU, Thomas Sines. Just last week, 84 undocumented immigrants in Oregon and Washington were arrested during a three-day sweep by U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, agents. And although Homeland Security Chief John Kelly claims his agents are targeting immigrants charged with crimes, the majority of those arrested and detained in no way represent a threat to public safety. And we're seeing these kinds of high-profile raids across the country. What is really happening here?
Well, it's somewhat unclear. It's not obvious whether this is being directed by Secretary Kelly or the National Department of Homeland Security. Or what appears more likely is that agents around the country are basically doing what they would like to do, having received a message through the rhetoric of the president and the secretary and executive orders and implementing memoranda, that basically they won't be constrained, as they might have been previously, from engaging in aggressive enforcement conduct, including enforcement that clearly does not target those who would be enforcement priorities under any reasonable definition of the term.
So how have these policies and approaches changed since the Obama administration? Because certainly under Obama and his 8 years, 2 million immigrants were deported. And even though the Obama administration tried to rein in ICE in many ways, they also, during that time, were targeting people who were not threats to public safety.
Well, as you've indicated, there were serious problems with the Obama administration's enforcement activities through the first 7-plus years of the administration. So it's still not clear whether these are substantially different, these current practices, or not. It does appear that agents have received a message that whatever constraints they may have believed they were under, they are no longer under. And I think that's why we've seen, for example, at least 4 holders of deferred action for childhood arrivals who have been arrested and detained despite having deferred action. We've seen perhaps increases in collateral arrests, at least more public awareness of collateral arrests, which are those who are arrested even though they have nothing to do with a warrant being executed, but happen to be in the vicinity, whether in the same home or in the neighborhood, and happen to come in contact with ICE agents who are executing a warrant on a specific individual. So there certainly does seem to have been a change. It's not clear whether that's a change directed from Washington, D.C., or more likely simply a loosening or a perceived loosening of any constraints that agents were under previously.
And is there evidence that ICE is targeting certain states and locations? I mean, of course, we in the Pacific Northwest are aware of these cases affecting us locally in the Portland and Seattle areas, and I'm sure you are in Southern California. But does there seem to be evidence that the West Coast, which has mounted a prominent resistance to these Trump orders, and states declaring sanctuary cities and states themselves declaring sanctuary for immigrants, does there seem to be a targeting of these areas to punish the West Coast?
Well, there are 2 things going on. First, there is, I think, some pretty strong evidence coming forward that the city of Austin, Texas, may have been targeted because of its policies, which were clearly in favor of immigrant integration. But what's important about Austin is that it sits in a state that has indicated quite clearly that it is interested in cooperating with the Trump enforcement agenda. And I think that indicates that state policy makes a difference. I think it's clear they understand they will have greater success in arresting and detaining more individuals where the state is cooperating than in those states where there is no cooperation. So it does make a difference that California Washington as states pursue policies that are welcoming of immigrants and protective of immigrants, it does certainly make a difference. By the same token, it is troubling, the evidence about Austin, Texas, suggesting that the administration is targeting jurisdictions because of their political views, which would be contrary to any sense of federalism, any sense of fairness and constitutionality that we would have believed in at least prior to January 20th.
And in addition to targeting particular areas that have tried to mount defenses of their immigrant residents, there's also the racialized immigration policies that are targeting brown Muslims and Latinos, Africans. And so what evidence exists that there's that kind of racialized targeting happening as well?
Well, unfortunately, our immigration removal system has for many, many, many years shown a significant discriminatory effect where Latino immigrants are put into deportation at a far higher rate than they represent among those who are undocumented. So that certainly continues under the same folks, ICE agents, Border Patrol, that were engaged in that conduct with discriminatory patterns previously. In addition, we have the administration's interest in involving local law enforcement in immigration enforcement, a promotion of the what was believed to be nearly dead 287G program, under which by contract local law enforcement agents are actually deputized to engage in immigration enforcement, and through the increased use of detainers and the attempt to highlight those who refuse to honor detainer requests, which are requests by ICE to hold someone longer than they are constitutionally allowed to be held on a state-related arrest, simply so that ICE can take its time in taking that person into custody. So we see a number of indications that there is an interest in involving local law enforcement in immigration enforcement. But we know that when you do that, you're basically inviting racial profiling. Untrained or inadequately trained local law enforcement agents are going to enforce immigration laws based on their own stereotypes about who is undocumented. Unfortunately, those stereotypes are inaccurate, but depict the undocumented largely as Mexican, Latino, and secondarily as Muslims, because Muslims are, by stereotype, viewed as somehow suspect. So we have an administration that is positively inviting racial profiling to increase, and that follows on a pattern longstanding of discriminatory results in who is put in detention and deportation.
Mm-hmm. And it seems like there is all, in addition to encouraging local police and local activities that would further practice existing racial profiling, there is this creation of intense fear and this heightened sense of anxiety, which has affected Latino communities in the Pacific Northwest and elsewhere in the country. Is that part of the strategy, too, to create this kind of atmosphere of fear that then leads to self-deportation or fewer immigrants to the United States?
I think that's the central strategy so far from the administration, because so many of the announcements that they've made are not actually implementable because they haven't taken the legal steps to implement them. But I think through the executive orders and implementing memoranda, even though they announce policies that are not yet legally implementable, together with leaked executive orders that don't get issued at all, are all designed to create confusion and fear, to do exactly what you've described, to make life difficult, so full of anxiety and concern that immigrants will on their own decide to withdraw from society and perhaps leave the country. Now, this attempt at coercing self-deportation, which we hadn't really heard much of since the 2012 presidential campaign following Arizona's invocation of the policy as a support for SB 1070, is really a despicable way of dealing with the issue. It's not about engaging in actual government activity. It's about creating fear and anxiety in children, even infants, who pick up the anxiety of their parents. It's about splitting apart families. It's a terrible legacy for the first 100 days of this administration.
Yes, it's a terrible psychological and health impact to wreak on large numbers of people in communities. So how do we push back? How do we, as allies, support our immigrant neighbors?
Well, I think we have to work with everyone to understand their rights, know their rights, get the resources to know them, to understand that they should never waive their rights. There are certainly going to be attempts, as we've seen already, by ICE agents to coerce immigrants, even immigrants with lawful status, to waive their rights to due process, and no one should ever do that. But it's not easy to say no to an agent who is attempting very, very much to get you to sign a piece of paper. So the third thing is we have to let everyone know that when they exercise their rights and refuse to waive them, they will not be alone. They will be supported, and there will be resources and support in the community for their rights to due process, for their rights that many of them have to remain in the United States. I think those are the most important messages to get out. And obviously, with respect to the third, it's something that all of us can engage in. But second, we can, of course, call upon our representatives in the House and in the Senate and not to acquiesce in this campaign of psychological fear and confusion, and to investigate what the Trump administration is doing and put limits on what it is doing, because it is a truly despicable and inhumane way of addressing a very human issue of immigration to this country.
Well, thanks so much for joining us today, Thomas Sines of the Mexican American Legal Defense and Education Fund, MALDEF. We appreciate you joining us at the Old Mole Variety Hour today.
Thank you.